the primary way you function on the earth, or people function on the earth, and you have to learn to function in the Spirit. Because if you live by the Spirit, you're also supposed to walk by the Spirit, are you not? Galatians 5:25. Now, if that is the case, then we have to learn not to look to our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And as we do that, the promises... Who just came in? The promises... this week, we might have to break now. The promises that were given to Abraham... Just put it out here. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face. That's a Limelighter song, actually. But it's a gospel song. Now, the promises given to Abraham were that he would become not a great citizen of heaven, but a great nation on the earth. And the scripture says Abraham walked after that. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. His faith was the establishment of his righteousness. And it says something else. It says, as he went along, he didn't pack up and leave with his father's fortune the way the prodigal son did. He wasn't penniless, but he didn't pack up and leave established. But as you go along, the scripture says, and Abraham was very rich. The establishment of prosperity is the beginning of the kingdom witness to the earth. Because they understand money, they don't understand what you believe in your heart. Your salvation is connecting you with God. It connects you with the eternal. It should bring a level of difference or sanctification. We talked a little bit about Samson. And we talked about Thessalonians on Sunday about being sanctified. Now, one of the things that you are to be sanctified in is that you are to no longer operate worshiping mammon. You're to stop running after money. You're to stop worshiping gold. That's not to be your priority. You're to stop buying vitamins and Peloton bicycles and Bowflex machines. But God wants you healthy. And Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom, and all the things that the world needs will be added to you. Or as Deuteronomy 28 put it, if you will obey, then these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. Down about the back end of those blessings, he says you won't have the diseases of Egypt. But at the front end, he says, and you will be very rich. Did you get the flu shot?
I did get one flu shot.
We will pray for you later.
But what does that have to do with our weight?
If it's stomach flu, it could have a lot to do with it. But
we both lost weight.
That's excellent.
That's good, but I thought we'd have to do it.
There was an establishment for the nation to be the head and not the tail. To be over and not under. The Christian is not to see themselves as someone who's going to be richer than the others. Even though there's promises for that. The Christian is to see themselves as one of the kingdom of power, wealth, and glory. And a participant. The same way you participated in health. Without buying a Peloton or a Bowflex or vitamins. Not that those are bad. You see, when you have the money, when your gold and your silver have multiplied. Didn't we read this last Tuesday? Somebody read it. I don't know who it was. But when they multiply, you're to remember the Lord your God. You keep your focus where it belongs. As I used to say, I had a good friend. He did really well, and he always bought new fancy cars. One day, he said, "Do you want my car?" I said, "Well, why? What's wrong with it?" He said, "Nothing. I just change every 6 months. I get a new one." And he did. And I was happy to have it. And a little while later, he said, "Do you want another car?" I said, "Sure. They're great." Happy to have it. And about 8 months later, I phoned him up and I said, "So how's it going? What's happening?" He says, "Oh, well, I took up golf, you know, and I'm playing the banjo." And I said, "That's great. What about the car?" He said, "I got to go now." When your gold has multiplied and your silver has multiplied, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's He who's giving you the power to make wealth. How quickly we forget. The Pharisees forgot that it was God who gave the glory, and they said it was the gold they put in the temple that made it glorious. And Jesus said the temple makes the gold glorious. We get it backwards too many times. You'd be amazed how many Christians say, "Well, I'll believe in it when I'm rich." Just like I'll believe in healing after He's healed me. And you'll believe in heaven after you get there, but you'll never get there that way. That's not how it works, because the Spirit must begin to operate. This is a kingdom establishment. And the kingdom has three things: spirit, soul, and body. If you're sanctified personally, spirit, soul, and body, you can join a kingdom that is sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, one that cannot be shaken. And the first way it can't be shaken in the world is provision. Did you notice that as long as the world or the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest? Now, the second provision was physical protection for the body. No weapon formed against you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't touch you. When you walk through the fire, it won't burn you. They'll come at you one way and flee in seven. If we could begin as a nation, as the kingdom, to walk that way. You have to get an attitude of kingdom. The reason you go to church is not because your parents brought you up that way. The reason you go is because that's where the kingdom is. Where two or more are gathered in my name. They need to be gathered in His name. They gather to worship in spirit and in truth. And they begin to love the Father with all their heart and all their soul and all their might and all their strength. One of the reasons you love it is the glory. You know why Joshua used to hang around the tent after Moses left? Because it was a drab, old, dusty, musty place. That's why. It was full of glory. There was so much glory, they used to have to cover Moses' face. How's that? How's that for an exfoliant? It was so strong on him. He wasn't even born again. Still, people rose up against him. Even his own family, they didn't like his wife. She was a half-breed or something. But You know, every now and then God would deal with them because he was the head of the kingdom. It's amazing how many in the nation fell for ignoring the nation. They weren't taken out by other people. They were only taken out by their disobedience. Do you understand that? When you join the nation, this is a nation that can't be shaken. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Nations will run to you. They will come to you. This is just Isaiah 55 again. And Psalm 1, Psalm 23, and Psalm on. But you remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth. It's a present condition. It keeps going. You get up and you use it every day. Just like the children of Israel, they used to get up every day and say, manna, manna, I'm glad I'm up today. You pick this stuff, it tastes just like I want it to taste. He says it tastes like blueberries. I think it tastes like strawberries and mango. But it is just great. And I can have as much as I want, and I never have to worry about refrigerating the rest because it'll be there tomorrow, except on Friday night. There was none on Saturday. You thought it was Sunday. But there was none on Saturday. Now, they were so grateful they began to murmur and complain that they wanted a little bit of meat with it. How dumb is that? See, where you are in the kingdom is where you want to be and where you decide you are. When you say, I am who you say I am, then you're happy. All my ways are known to you. Whether rich or poor, whether I'm surrounded or lonely, I know God has me. I'm looking for him and his kingdom, and I'm perfectly happy eating the manna. I'm not whining. And he who has, somebody said, will have more. And, not just more, and an abundance. It's so hard to get the body of Christ to believe this. Some actually talk against it because that's not holy. Well, you know, God makes a few mistakes and we'll have to forgive him. And when we get to heaven, we'll straighten him out, right? And Abraham was very rich. And if we are in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham are our inheritance. Do you understand that? Don't ignore aspects of it. You know, you can ignore Syria when you go across that Jordan, and you can take Jordan, and you can take Lebanon, and some of Saudi. But you can ignore Syria. They also actually had Iraq and Iran given to them. Never took it. Quit remembering how good the manna was. And decided to make little golden calves. Thought it was a bull market. Never mind. Leave that one alone. Prosperity is fundamental to the kingdom because the kingdom is very much about how you walk on this earth from born again to heaven. It's how you navigate the world where the God of this world is. You are in the world, but not of the world. And so you have to know how to be as innocent as a dove and as smart as a serpent and how to prosper. Because if you're walking with God, he will see to it that you prosper. You seek him and those things will pursue you. They will overtake you. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country and blessed in the barn and blessed in the field and blessed going in and blessed coming out and blessed in your family and blessed in your offspring. You will be blessed. And you say, well, it didn't work for me. I guess it wasn't God's choice. This is not me. This is us. This is kingdom. These are never spoken to an individual except one that I know of, the rich man. And he was told he'd have treasure if he'd just get on board. And he'd have it in heaven. And if he'd been following him around, and he was following him around, he probably heard him say, get your treasure in heaven, not on earth, because you can lose it on earth. In other words, he was promising him treasure that he could never lose. Never. But he had no idea how to access it. He had no idea how to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. He had no idea that the Father was seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth. And he thought the Father was seeking those who were legalistic and saving themselves. It is the kingdom territory of Deuteronomy 8:18, Deuteronomy 28:1 to 8, and on, especially the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28, and Deuteronomy 30:14. It is the provision for the soul man. It is the soul man that walks on the earth in need of something for lunch. Not the body. Yeah, your body's going to want the fish and the loaves. But it's the soulish man that says, I got a 20-talent squid in my back pocket and I'm not worried about tomorrow. It is the soulish man who says to his soul, Jesus said, soul, thou hast much goods. What shall I do? I will tear down my barns and build bigger. It is founded in God, and it is a part of the covenant. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. Everybody know that chorus? Let's stand up and sing it together. I'm not getting anybody here. I'm pitching and no one's swinging. It is not to separate you from God. The wealth is not to become a distraction. You can slide back into category 3. If you're not careful, where you are distracted because God becomes second place. You just call up and say, where's the meat? Where's the quail? Where's the pheasant under glass? I got the manna. What's going on here, God? We'll see you tomorrow. Quick. Or where's the new car? I'll tell you who that guy was. There actually was a guy who had a new car every 6 months. And I knew him well. I still know him. Stop giving me cars. It's kind of disappointing. But that was an example. It wasn't because he was mean. Where is the beginning of prosperity? The beginning of prosperity is to begin to understand ways of walking in the kingdom. This is a kingdom. Okay, so I get off the plane. John told me Virginia and Irwin are going to get off the plane with passports, and they'll be greeted, and they'll stamp those passports permanent residence. Never set foot in the country before. Permanent resident. Bang, bang in the passports. And then he's to take them over to Service Canada, and they'll be given health cards and social insurance numbers and how to get POGI and everything else. They'll be full citizens, right? So imagine if you just got off the plane and said, oh, you're in the kingdom. So you get born again. I see the kingdom. Well, you can go in. Okay, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah, you and 2.4 billion other people, so what are you doing? And you say, yeah, I guess, what do I do? And those who are helpful will come over and give you rules to live by. But Jesus has already given you some rules. We know the first one, love the Lord your God. Second one, love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? They would ask, because they didn't even want the second one, right? And then the third one, love one another. You love this kingdom. And you stop being a goat and you'll bet to be a sheep. Now, Jesus and Peter and John and Paul and Jude added things that can help you walk kingdom. Especially the letters of Paul, which were written to mature the kingdom or the church, the mature church. Kingdom is not to separate you from God, but one of the things he wants you to do is begin to walk in the works prepared for you as his child. If you're walking with him, you won't forget him. He wants you to join the kingdom because he is in the kingdom. If you look at Ephesians in broad brush, I'm sure you do every second time you read it, but if you look at Ephesians in broad brush, it is a kingdom epistle. Because it is to people who are 80% of the way there, just saying all sections are equal, 80% of the way there, that's like saying there's exactly 25% category threes. It's not necessarily true. But you can think that way if it helps you. Now, it's 80% of the way there because they heard the word, they've tasted the heavenly gift, they've partaken of the Spirit, and they have faith. They are the tasting of the good word of faith. The only thing left is to begin the powers of the age to come, where Jesus is the fullness of everything. See, the reason I participate is not because God just loves me so much. It's because he made a kingdom where everybody who gets off the plane is entitled to residence and social security and health care. When you get born again, you're entitled to kingdom, which is the fullness of everything, with the incomparably great power towards, well, my anointed one over here in this corner, towards those who have been ordained and licensed, to those, what did it say in that verse? To those who believe. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. For with the Spirit, or with the heart, Romans 10:10 says, man believes. And if you can begin to develop the ability to believe in a scriptural sense, then this is your foundation. It belongs to everybody in the kingdom. Most of the kingdom don't even know it. They're dying. You just die. And then it comes back. And they're dying for lack of knowledge. It's not to separate you from God, nor is it to make you a workaholic, but things were prepared for you to walk in. Canada was prepared for Virginia and Irwin to walk in. We spent 150 years doing it. We built a railway from coast to coast so they could get on via and go to the next blockade. We got everything laid out here. We got roads. We got lights. Hospitals. Tim Hortons. It's a sign. But you can walk totally ignorant of what Canada has. In and out of the country. Separated from the life of Canada. Excluded from the commonwealth. In the futility of your thinking, darkened in your understanding. The beginning of prosperity. This is just the way I put it down. Could be something else. But if you add it all up, it's pretty well a whole cake anyway. So, A, the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Get knowledge. Get wisdom. Get understanding, Proverbs says. This was a rich guy. But he went after kingdom. He didn't go after the money. But he proved the theory that the blessings of the Lord make rich, and he adds no sorrow. Now, there are lots of blessings in Canada that people never even know about. How many of you have even been to all the national parks? How many of you have been to one or two of the national parks? Okay. Eh? Six, all right. You're doing something. But there are lots of things. How many of you been to the War Museum in Ottawa? Look at this guy. Look at that. How many of you been on the Thousand Islands cruise from Gananoque? I have. What's wrong with you people? But there's so many things in this kingdom that you need to begin to get wisdom and understanding. You need to begin to fear the Lord so that he can help you understand. You get into the candy store, you're 3 years old, and you don't know what to do. And you find out when you're 3 years old, all you get is fluoride gum. Okay? After that, maybe next year we'll do something else. In fact, an inheritance too quickly obtained is not a blessing, the scripture says. Did you know that? If you want to sit there with your manna and complain you don't have quail, you may never get to quail. It may best be hollow, quail hollow. That was a famous, never mind. Fear of the Lord and wisdom, Proverbs and Psalms speak of these things. Psalm 112, I'm going to go there. These are descriptions, so you can begin to say, I should be in here somewhere. I should be in here. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. Do you know the stock markets went down 1,000 points? It's now at the lowest point of last November's kind of mini crash, and they're waiting for it to really go. Does that bother you? And you don't even own stock. But you know, they're all a tremble. Anytime you turn on the TV, they're all a tremble about something. You know, that's going to replace coronavirus. Do you know that Green Bay didn't win the Super Bowl? That's the beginning of the turn. Thank you for your sacrifice and your service. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. Oh, they're going to be mad. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Why be there? You see, if you understand where God wants you, it's easier to get there, right? It's sort of like having a dog, you know. You open the door. Lay down, Fido. Lay down. What? All right. Go out, Fido. Go out. Ah, now I understand. But see, the door is open a lot of different places, and you don't know where to go. The fear of the Lord and wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. Go to Proverbs. I read you too much of Psalm 112. I'm only supposed to read you the first three verses. And we've only got 2 minutes left because we've got to get to more important things here. But it's going to be exciting. We're going to have speeches and polkas, things like that. Did you bring your polka? Did you bring your thumb drive with the polkas on it? Proverbs 3. Are you relaxed? Do you believe God's pursuing you with good things? Amen. Do you think tomorrow's going to be good? Do you think that there are ministering spirits, angels, that are out working for you right now? Amen. God works with whatever you believe. Do you have? Because you will have more in abundance. Or are you just a little bit short right now? You're not short, but you're on your way to more. 3:13-16. There's a lot in Proverbs. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her, that's wisdom, profit, that's money or advancement or gain, is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. That's the Lord's, but the Lord and the Holy Spirit are trying to teach you. The wisdom they're trying to get over to you has this inherent characteristic, or these two characteristics. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Do you accept that? Is God withholding? Is any man lacks wisdom? Well, God won't give it to you, will he? Because it's only for certain people, right? Anybody who asks receives. But let him ask nothing doubting. Why would you doubt? Because you don't see it. And if you don't see it, you change your theology. And you back off instead of growing into the unseen and into the realm of faith. That's what you tend to do. Go to 8. Proverbs 8. It's 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. When you get established, you can be prideful against your fellow man. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you right now. The verse before, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. It's two sisters. And I find knowledge and discretion. We're almost up to 7 sisters, but we only have 4. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way. And the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. riches and honor are with me. Enduring. Everybody say, enduring. Good. I like it with a little bit of a Scottish roll. Enduring. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Well, let me just read you a little bit. We're not going to go there. We've got more important things to do. Riches are not a substitute for Jesus. Health is not a substitute for Jesus. It just comes along. I mean, you go get it when you need it, but it doesn't replace Jesus. Sanity or well-being, mental stability, emotional quiet, peace, can I put it that way, is not a substitute for Jesus. And if you're seeking it, you're going to lose it. It's the number one curse in the New Testament. Authority is not a substitute for Jesus. Protection is not a substitute for Jesus. Even eternal life is not a substitute for Jesus. They are things that come with Jesus. Jesus is the gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Riches are part of the package. You know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. By his stripes we were healed. He took up our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Poverty is part of the curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What do you mean the curse of the law? If you read the back end of Deuteronomy 28, you'll see what happens when you ignore the blessings. The blessings were triggered on buying the program. In other words, going into the kingdom, obeying the law. Not worshiping God, obeying the law. If you're willing and obedient, Isaiah chapter 1, you will eat the good of the land. He never promises people that they'd be deprived if they'd walk in his side. In fact, the only rebuke he ever gave them was, you're not high enough. You're not going up high enough. You could do more. You could do better. Not you, greedy little thing, you. But it was the kingdom. You got to start to see the kingdom. It's his kingdom, and you get to go in. It's not you, and he has his kingdom chasing you to prop you up and make you look good. The glory you have is his glory. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Are you agreeing with that in your spirit? Because you got to join the army. You got to wear the uniform. You got to walk the walk and talk the talk. But it's the best job in town. I always wanted to get into that union. There's one union you should belong to. The union of the Spirit. One God, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. One church, one body. Where'd she go? Oh, then I guess we're going to... This is party time. So you know what? I went 5 minutes over. This is Val's celebration.